I thank the Lord for that song. I appreciate it very much. The second verse of that song says, "Other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on Thee. Leave me not alone. Still support and comfort me. All my trust on Thee is stayed. All my help from Thee I bring. Cover my defenseless head with the shadow of Thy wing." Oh, we heard during our meeting, we need the Lord. How desperately we need the Lord to cover our defenseless head. We have nothing of ourselves to bring any security of eternity to us. We have nothing of ourselves to deliver us from the troubles in this life. Our only hope is in God and the plan that He has made, His salvation through His Son Jesus. I need your prayers today. I want the Lord to cover my defenseless head. The burden I have on my heart this morning, I will call it sundry instructions. Sundry meaning various. And then I'll have a subtitle, heart issues. Sundry instructions, heart issues. And you see my penmanship is not very good. I had this on my heart for quite a while. And I ask the Lord to bless it and I ask for your prayers. I'd like to turn to the book of Proverbs. Chapter 26 is where we'll begin. The book of Proverbs is full of sundry instructions. And this morning I'd like for us to take a look at this little passage beginning with verse 17 in Proverbs 26. The first verse we're going to read looks a little comical, with a lot of truth in it. "He that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears." Now, how many of you would be willing just to walk up to a dog and grab him by the ears and hang on? What's that going to do for you? The likelihood is that you're going to find yourself in a situation wishing you could get some help turning loose of that dog. Because that dog is likely to turn on you, and you're going to want to be able to get away from there. This passage, this little scripture says, "He that passes by and meddles with strife, that he has no dog in the fight." He's not, it doesn't belong to him, it's not anything to do with him, but he inserts himself. He sees this situation, there's something going on, and he decides that he wants to insert himself in that conflict. It's like one that sees a dog and just grabs him by the ears and gives it a good twist. Doesn't make much sense, does it? Why would you just reach down and grab the dog by the ears and give a twist? Beats me. And that's what he's saying here. This makes about as much sense as if you would go do something like that. You can expect a result. You can expect a counterproductive result. Many's the time I've heard the comment made that someone would insert themselves into a domestic dispute. Police officers being called to the scene of a domestic dispute. Maybe one, either the husband or the wife, one of the other partners calls for assistance in this domestic dispute. And when the officer gets there, whoever gets there in authority, and tries to help resolve or settle that dispute, that before it's over, it's not unlikely that one or both of them is going to turn on the officer and say, "Get away from here, we'll take care of this." That's what happens, folks, with human beings. We certainly, without the Lord, can't be trusted. And then it says, "As a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am not I in sport?" Now think of this. Here's a man who is doing deceptive things. He's doing whatever he wants to cause problems for his neighbor. He casts firebrands, arrows, and death. And what that means is he's doing damaging things. This is really speaking of probably words as much as anything, but there are other ways to cause problems with your neighbor. You can do things to cause issues. You can throw nails in his driveway. You can go cut his fence. You can go leave his gate open. When he pulls out, you walk over and open his gate. And you can say, after this is all said and done, "Oh, I meant no harm. It was just a joke. It was all in jest. I really didn't mean anything by it. I just was wanting to see." And you know it's not true. Knowing from the beginning it's not so. Am I not in sport? It's as one who is doing everything that he possibly can do to cause destruction and harm to someone is the one that says, "Well, it was all in fun. I didn't mean anything by it. I was just joking." I can say to you, your nose is like an elephant's trunk. And maybe you do have a big nose. But is it best for me to say that kind of thing? And it hurts your feelings. And you go away and you say, "Well, that bothered me." And I continue in that vein. "Well, you have ears like an elephant too." And I keep on that same vein. "Well, I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing. I'm just picking." But you really have in the seat of your heart something that you want to get a jab. You want something to go in there. You want something to be recognized. You want it to be just a little bit painful. But when you're called on the carpet for it, "Oh no, it was just a joke. I didn't mean anything by it. I was just teasing." How many times have you heard that? On the other side of a hurtful comment, "Oh, I didn't mean anything by it. I was just picking. I was just teasing." Am not I in sport? Where no wood is, the fire goeth out. How true. Isn't that true? What happens if you build a fire and don't keep putting wood on it? It goes out. When we feed these kinds of things, you can anticipate that it's going to continue. When a person has this kind of behavior and feeds this kind of behavior, continues in this kind of behavior, continues to say things, "Oh, I'm just kidding, I'm just picking, I'm just teasing, I'm just joking, I didn't really mean it, didn't mean no harm by it. Where no wood is, the fire goeth out." But as long as you keep adding a log to the fire, it's going to keep blazing, is it not? Where no wood is, the fire goeth out. So where there's no tail bearer, the strife ceaseth. A sundry instructions, this is the word of the Lord. As coals are to burning coals, and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down to the innermost parts of the belly. Here's another one. I've got a little something I want to share with you. And your ears perk up. A little juicy tidbit of gossip gets put out concerning something or someone. The words of a talebearer are wounds. They go down the innermost parts of the belly. There are those who are very willing to disseminate, and there are those who are very willing to swallow it down. "Oh yeah, give me some more. That sounded good. That tasted good. You got any more? Is there anything else?" Just wait. There's those who want to disseminate, and there's those who want to broadcast. Maybe I can say it that way. Want to transmit, and those who always have their antenna up to receive. You got something? You got anything you can tell me? I'm always listening, always wanting to find out what's out there, what's available. What you got? Any juicy tidbits today? Maybe I don't just say those things, but I have an antenna up to receive those kinds of things. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. Burning lips in this little scripture means glowing with friendship, pretensions of affection and kindness. Oh, what a wonderful person you are. Oh, how much I adore you. Oh, how much I love being in your presence. Oh, how much I like to be around you. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. What is a potsherd with silver dross? It's a clay pot covered with the stuff that boils to the top when you put the heat on the silver. It's not covered with silver itself. The clay pot is of no value, and the dross is of no value. But polished and shined up to look real good and look real nice on the outside, but it's nothing but just a false covering for a clay piece of pottery that's worthless. That's what this is saying. Burning lips, glowing with friendship, pretensions of affection and kindness, and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. This little passage, folks, is full of sundry instruction. It's full of various instructions that we do well to incorporate the meaning of this into our lives and do everything we can to push ourselves away from this kind of conduct. We need not to participate in it. We need not to be a broadcaster. We need not to be a receiver. We need not to put ourselves in a place where I am open and willing to receive anything you have to say. Just bring it to me. Bring me something. Anything that you've got, I'd be glad to just share and sit down and we'll talk about these kinds of things. We ought to be careful. This passage is telling us that we need to be careful not to participate in this type of behavior. All right? So with that backdrop, I'd like to go to Matthew chapter 12. And we'll look down at verse 33. Chapter 12 of Matthew, verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now these are the words of the Master. And really what he is doing, he is confirming what we just read in the book of Proverbs. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, bringeth forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now, I want us to stay here. I want us to get the real essence, I believe, of what Jesus is trying to say to us. That there are heart issues. There are tongue issues. There are mouth issues. There are word issues. There are the things that proceed from the mouth. The things that proceed from the mouth have a seat somewhere. They have a beginning place. He is saying to them, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Verse 34 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now there are things that you and I might think in our minds that are better left unsaid. Amen to that. There ought to be, like there is, you ever had a fuel filter stop up? That filter's there for a reason on your vehicle or your lawnmower or boat, tractor, RV, whatever it may be. That filter is there to pick up any trash, dross, anything that would not be conducive to allowing combustion in that engine. Because fuel, gasoline, diesel, whatever it may be, passes through that filter and it's supposed to trap the particles that have the potential to do damage to the other parts of the engine. That filter's there for a reason. It's there to do some good. And we ought to have, I believe, and if you'll give me this liberty here, that there ought to be a filter. There ought to be a filter somewhere between what's in my mind and my heart and what comes out of my mouth. There ought to be a filter there. There ought to be something where I am able to stop a little bit, take inventory of what is being considered and what is being presented to me before I make a response to it. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now I want to go to Matthew 15. This is a very common passage. Matthew 15, beginning with verse 17. Now this was after Jesus' disciples had walked through the cornfields and had picked corn and had eaten without washing their hands. And they were being called on the carpet for it. And Jesus had an answer for it. And He was talking to His disciples. He was sharing some things with them. In the 17th verse He says this, "Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught?" In other words, those things that we consume, naturally consume, are used and processed by the body and are put off by the body as wastes. Those things that it cannot use, those things that are not beneficial to it, those things that have no nutritional value, the body puts them off as waste. But those things which proceed out of the mouth, I think these are very key points here, folks. Those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. What a catalog of things. What an awful catalog of things. Out of the heart, these things proceed. There is a beginning place. There is a seat where these thoughts, ideas, considerations begin. It is within the heart. When that situation presents itself to a man, he has a choice to make. He is either going to consider and rest upon it and ponder it and think about it and form a response to it and make a response to it, or he is going to say, it's best that I leave this portion of something out of my life, and I'm going to dismiss it, I'm going to discard it, it's not worth, it's not of any value to me, I'm going to cast it aside as waste, I don't want anything to do with it, because if I allow those things to take root in my life, I can't help a thought passing through my mind. I can't help that there are things that the enemy wants to try to put in there from time to time. I can't help that temptations come. I find many times that temptations come from past experiences I've had in my life. Past exposures, things that I have had exposure to, things that I have seen, things that I have heard, places I have been. That the enemy uses those things to bring some level of understanding, some level of communication with me that I can identify with. And he uses those things to cause me to be tripped along the way. Now it says, I think it's very important to note that the words of Jesus in verse 18, he says, those things which proceed out of the mouth, they come from the heart. If I have an evil thought enter my mind, if I have an evil thought in my heart, I have a choice to make what I'm going to do with that thought. If I make the decision to let that thing proceed from me, by thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned. It's more to it than just having the temptation. It's more to it than having the thought. Yes, I would agree that when a temptation comes, when there is something presented, that it comes from something inside the man. The enemy presents it, and there's something that he knows that I can identify with. And he uses that to try to get me to ponder and think about, a response to that. And his hope is that I will have the negative response. His hope is that I will choose to act upon the temptation, whatever it may be that he has presented to me. But if I choose not to allow that to proceed, if I choose at that point that I will not allow this to be a part of who I am, I don't want it as the fabric of my life, and I choose to push it aside, I have not allowed it to proceed forth from me, thank God I have made a good decision. Those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Now, I understand where Jesus said concerning adultery, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if you really study what that verse is saying, it's more than just a thought. It is actually saying, if opportunity, time, and chance presented itself, I would follow through with this. That's giving more than just a thought, folks. That's more than just a temptation that comes. That is saying to myself, if I had the opportunity, if time and chance presented itself, I would follow through with this temptation. That is evil. That is proceeding. It's not actually that deed hasn't been committed, but if I just had the opportunity. You see, the Lord sees all that and He knows all that. And He knows what we do with those things that are presented to us. Now, in the book of Ecclesiastes, we'll backtrack just a little bit. Chapter 5. I found a curious scripture here. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 6. It's in the context of vows to God. Verse 4, we'll pick up with verse 4. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. I'll tell you, that puts a clincher on it to me. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. There are many times along the way, folks, that you and I are going to be tempted to say something. There are many times along the way that something comes up and we're tempted to say something. There are many times along the way that we're going to come up with a situation, we read in Proverbs 26, where someone is very willing to present something to you. Slanderous comment about an individual, and you don't know if it's true or not. You can't verify it. You can't validate it. But painting a picture in your heart and mind about what's going on. And whether you can or cannot validate it, you have a choice to make whether you participate in it. And if you choose to participate in it and you choose to start making comments about it and engage in that type of behavior, remember what the Scripture says? Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. If I have temptation that comes in me, I don't want to allow it to proceed from my heart. I don't want to allow it to proceed outside of my body. I don't want to allow it to be taken into action. I want to allow the filter to stop that thing before it causes damage. I want God to do that for me. I want Him to put that filter inside of my heart and my mind so that when I have these thoughts presented to me, that I have something that can stop it before it actually goes into activity. First Timothy chapter 5, verse 13. Very common scripture. Withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. Not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Thayer's definition on busybodies is to bustle about uselessly, to busy oneself about trifling, needless, useless matters. used apparently of a person officiously inquisitive about others' affairs, officiously meaning in a busy, meddling manner. My, my. Doesn't that sound like it's a contradiction to what the counsel in Proverbs 26:17 says? Man walks by and meddles with strife. It's not belonging to him. He just will grab a dog by the ears and give a good twist. You can guess what's going to happen. You can just about figure what's going to happen. That dog's going to turn around and bite you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11. For we hear there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Again, that same definition for busybodies. From time to time, I feel the Lord wants us to deal with various issues in a congregation. He wants us to deal with all kinds of the full gamut as much as we possibly can. I don't know when this has ever been visited here. Can't remember whenever we've talked about it before. Don't know when it'll ever be talked about again. But I feel like the Lord sent it. Have sundry instructions and you look at heart issues. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You see, what's in there comes out. I found it true with myself. I found that I've had to steal away to my Lord and say, I'm sorry. I found I've had to go to my fellow man and say, I'm sorry. I said something to you I shouldn't have said. I'm sorry. I said something that was hurtful to you and I shouldn't have said it. The Lord gives us these kind of instructions in His Word to keep us safe and secure. I appreciate your time and attention this morning. I pray God will help me. I pray He will help us all. I want to make heaven my home. When you think of it, you pray for me. And let's pray for one another. Amen.